For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that Son, Jesus Christ, has lived among us, has died for us, and praise God, risen again, that we may have new birth into a living hope. So we say this Easter morning, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful start to our worship. Thank you to Heather and the singing group, and we'll hear more from them later. How wonderful it is to welcome all those who are able to worship here together this Easter morning. To welcome all those who are joining us online now or later on, and a warm welcome if you are visiting with us, especially this morning. It's great to have you with us, either here or online. We delight to gather physically and virtually to worship and celebrate our risen Lord Jesus. So we're going to do that as we all sing together of the resurrection. See what a morning and death was arrested. Let's stand and sing together.
Sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me. Now life begins with you. It's your rest. My chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom, he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began.
Together, let's pray. Our great and mighty God, on the first day of all creation, you made light. You created the new morning and all of life that we know in its beauty. Lord, then one morning a newborn child lying in a manger announced that you had come to be God with us in our brokenness. One morning, Lord Jesus, surrounded by people who rejected you, you suffered and died on the cross for us to defeat death and sin and evil. And one new morning, as the stone was rolled away at the empty tomb, it became clear that you had risen again to bring in new life, to bring it to us and begin a new creation. So Lord, this morning we gather here once again with people across the world and with all the angels of heaven to praise you and celebrate those great mornings, those great dawns, your creation of this world, your life, your death, and your resurrection, your love for us and all that you have made. Father, where there have been times in past days and weeks where, like those disciples all those years ago, we've failed to recognize that you are right with us, where we've fearfully hidden our relationship with you and from those around us, where there have been times we've been slow to understand what you've been teaching us and showing us and wanting us to do. Lord, for those times, we're sorry, and we thank you that you forgive us. But we ask that this morning, and in each coming day, your Spirit would fill us more and more with the good news of life and love and hope and peace and joy that is ours to keep and ours to share, because we believe that you have risen, Lord Jesus, and you reign. To you, our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, be the glory. Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. The words will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're here celebrating Easter Sunday, and it's great to see you here. Over the past while, as a church, we've been working our way through Mark's Gospel, the story of Jesus' life, or really from about the start of his ministry when he was about 30 or so, up until his death and resurrection. In a moment, we're going to come to the last part of the whole story, his resurrection, and David's going to read it to us in a minute or two. But we spent last January to April as a church looking at part of this story, and this January to April as a church looking at part of the story, and then we sped up over this past week. I hope and I think many of you took the opportunity to listen and to reflect on the readings from Mark chapter 11 to 13 over Monday to Thursday about Jesus' teaching in his last week. They're still up on the web and on YouTube to go back to. A big thanks to Chris Pollock for filming those with me in various locations. Maybe you recognize some as you listen to the words. This past Thursday night, we gathered with Knock Breeder in St. Jude's for a Maundy Thursday service. And it was really lovely for a good number of people from all three churches to be united again around God's word and around his table as we shared in communion together. And that was really special. Then on Good Friday, we had our biblical storytelling of the arrest and the trial and the suffering and the death of Jesus from Mark chapters 14 and 15. It was a really powerful evening. Perhaps you were here, perhaps you watched it online. Again, that's available to watch. We sat in the round, the church was laid out completely differently, and we listened and reflected. A number of people had memorized part of the story, and we told the story together. As one of our storytellers said afterwards, the gospel story is for ordinary people like us. And for it to be told by ordinary people like us gives it such power. My great thanks to everybody who took part in that, remembering and telling the story, and musically and technically, and especially to Leslie Ann, who initiated that and brought all that together. We look forward to the next occasion. Maybe that could involve you too. Just before then, we come to our last reading from Mark. I should say, looking ahead, we have tomorrow, Easter Monday, big day out at Castlewell. And Johnny, that's still happening, isn't it? The weather's going to be glorious, isn't it? Down to 18 degrees. It's just wavering around 18. Oh, looking at the weather in England going, oh, those English, always getting the weather. Now, it's going to be beautiful here, though, isn't it? No rain, sunshine. So we are meeting at Castlewell tomorrow, 10:30. Come down, 10:30. We'll see you around there. Any particular place? The Maze. We're meeting at the Maze at 10:30. If you can't find Johnny, he'll be at the center of the Maze. You've got to go and look for him there. We'll be in the mystery of the Maze. There'll be a lovely walk. There'll be, bring your picnic. We'll have that at 12:30. And then there'll be a chance for another walk or some games, rounders with rice afterwards. So that'll be great. We're looking forward to that. Come on down tomorrow to Castle Wellen for a great day of fun. Then next Sunday, we're going to be all age again, worshiping together as we think about an event just a little bit after Jesus' resurrection. And then the ARC and JCBs and Bible class, all that will be back from the 1st of May. But now David is going to come and read to us. David Greenaway is going to come and read to us from Mark 16, 1-8. As I was saying last week, just as David comes up, it has an abrupt ending. Be ready for this. Although there's another section in our Bibles, if you're following, it's most likely this bit was written a bit later, perhaps because it was felt the ending was too abrupt. But Mark, I think, probably ended it where we will end it today, which may at first seem stark, but is actually really meaningful for all of us. So David, let's hear God's word to us. Thank you. Now, let me take you back 30, 35 years. When I was a kid, when I was a kid, there used to be these books called Choose Your Own Adventure books. I don't know anybody around about my age. Do you remember? Do people remember that? Do people remember Choose Your Own Adventure books? So, they had kind of great titles. The Cave of Time. Survival at Sea, The House of Danger. So there's these great books, and the point was that you were involved in the story. So you were like a deep sea diver, or an astronaut, or an explorer. And you would get to choose how the story worked out. So you didn't just kind of read the book from start to finish. You would read a few pages, right, and it would get you into the story, and then you'd have a choice to make. Do you want to do this or that? If you want to do the first thing, you have to go to page 16. But if you didn't, if you made a different choice, you'd have to go to like page 28. And then you'd read a bit more, and there'll be another choice. Do you want to go here? Oh, that's page 42, right? Or do you want to go here? Oh, no, that's page 48. So you spent your time flicking back and forward through the book. You never read it all the way through. You flick back and forward. But the beauty was that you could choose how the story worked out. And you could go back to the book time and time again. Some of the books had like 20 or 30 different stories or different endings, depending on what choices you made. But you're always flicking back and forward. Here, let's try it. Okay. You find yourself in a town near the desert. A local guide offers to take you on a tour. Do you go or do you stay in the town? Do you go or do you stay in the town? What are we going to go for? Go. Good choice. Go, page 8. Right, okay, good. The guide takes you past a cave. He asks if you want to go in. If you want to go in, turn to page 22. If you want to keep walking, turn to page 26. What are we going to do? If there's people saying keep walking, just shush there. Right, okay, we're going to go. Deep inside the cave, you come across two secret doors. See where this is going, can't you? Two secret doors. You can only choose to open one. One door is plain. The other door has a picture of a sparkling Easter egg on it. Which door do you choose? Shush. Which door do you choose? Which door do you choose? Of course you do. The sparkling. Oh, goodness. Get to the end here. You push open the door, being careful not to bang your head. That was the garage yesterday. You see something golden, red and blue, sparkling before you. Congratulations, you have found the treasure. What does it say here? All those under 11 may rush up and collect one. Oh, brilliant. Guys, come grab an egg, come grab an egg. What an adventure, what a finish. It's under 11 years of age. Guys, 11 and under. Yeah.
Thank you.
Go, guys. Great. Super. Now, if you've collected an egg, you can look longingly at the parent who brought you and say, can I eat it now? And according to me, you can, but just wrap up the rubbish and stick it in their pocket afterwards or something. There's more. Matthew. Good catch, good man. Here, Wally, you wanted one as well. Wally knows the barcode on eggs. Wally could tell me the barcode off by heart. You can have an egg for that, Wally. Well done. Well, while you eat that, let me tell you about three women who are on an adventure. In Mark's gospel, we find some women who are making choices about the adventure that they are on. They're called Mary and Salome. Two of them are called Mary. Mary is quite a common. Have we got any Marys? Marys in? Just one or two, maybe. In those days, actually, if I asked that question, about a third of the women here would have put their hands up. Mary is a very common name. So two Marys and Salome. And they are making choices as the story goes along. So they have a first choice. They meet Jesus when he was teaching and doing miracles in Galilee. And they had the choice, like many people did, to start following him or not to bother. They make the first choice. They decide they'll follow Jesus and help him out there in Galilee. Well, then a bit later, when the story goes on a bit and they're heading for Jerusalem, Jesus is heading for Jerusalem where he said there would be trouble and they would die. The women have a choice too. They can stay safe up there in Galilee where it's all fine and safe, or let Jesus go to Jerusalem with some of the others, or they can go to Jerusalem with Jesus. The women make the choice for the adventure to go to Jerusalem with Jesus. Well, there in Jerusalem, when Jesus was arrested and killed on the cross, the women had a choice again. They could run away and hide because it wasn't safe to be hanging around with Jesus and known as one of his friends, and most of the disciples did that. They headed off. Or they could stick around. Well, the women stayed, and we read that they watched Jesus at a distance as he died. They made a choice to stick around. Well, when Jesus died, as the story went on, someone had to take his body and look after it. That would have been the job of his friends, the disciples, but they'd all run away. They'd all disappeared. So a man called Joseph took Jesus' body and laid it carefully in the tomb that he had. The women had another choice to make. They could steer clear of all of that like the other disciples and get offside. Or they could go with Joseph and see where the body was laid. They made that choice. They went to see where the body was laid and saw the big stone rolled over the entrance. The next morning, and this is where our reading began, the women had another choice. Would they just stay in bed that Sunday morning and try to forget about Jesus because he was now dead and all that hope had gone? Or would they go to the tomb and put spices on his body the way people did, caring for him just like they had when he was alive? Well, they chose to go to the tomb and keep caring for Jesus. Time and again, these women made choices in the adventure. And time and again, they chose to stick with Jesus and love him because of what he meant to them. We get to see that whereas pretty much everyone else has disappeared for the moment, these women are the ones who keep on trying to love and follow Jesus. What a great example of discipleship. But when they get to the tomb, having wondered how they'll roll away the stone, they see it's already rolled away. How did that happen, they think? And as they go inside, they see the figure of a man dressed in white like an angel. This does sound a bit like one of those adventure books, doesn't it? Inside the cave, a figure of a white man, a man dressed in white. Now they're afraid. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus, but he is not here. He is risen. Jesus is alive. Go find and tell Peter and the disciples, and then you will meet Jesus." Wow. What a discovery on the adventure. This is amazing. If Jesus is alive, that changes everything, doesn't it? Literally everything. That makes it the greatest day in history since, well, history began, since the creation of the world. It means he's done what he came and promised to do. It means he's the king who's defeated death and Satan and sin and evil. It means the kingdom he's talked about and showed people in all his teaching and healings really is here, and it's beginning in him. It means he's bringing new life to the whole world and everyone who trusts in him. If Jesus is alive, it means all that. Wow. At this point, the women have another choice. Do they believe this and celebrate what's happened here and run and tell Peter and the others and share that good news? Or do they go away from the tomb and say nothing because, well, they're a bit afraid and they just don't know what to make of it? Celebrate, well, I'll go the same way as these arrows. Celebrate and share the good news? Celebrate and share the good news? Or walk away and say nothing? There's the choice. You know, that's the last choice in the adventure book that is the story of Mark's gospel. With this choice, Mark's story ends. I've said that the rest of the bit in our Bibles was probably added on a bit later. It might describe things that happened, but it's probably not written by Mark or where he left the book. He leaves the women who we followed and us with this final choice. Mark's saying to us, listen, you've followed the story from the start, and as a church, we have, actually. You've seen what Jesus has said and done. I've told you from the start he's the Son of God. I've wanted to show you that. I've wanted to show you how he's bringing his kingdom into the whole world. Forgiveness, life, hope. Here he is, risen from the dead. What are you going to do about that? Will you celebrate and share the good news? Or will you walk away and say nothing? What will you do? Yeah. There's choices, aren't there? Yeah, exactly. Well, what do you think the women did? What do we think the women did? Actually, yeah, what do we think the women did? They did exactly that. They walked away. Mark tells us, and this is where people don't like the ending of the book in this way, that the women who've stuck with Jesus up until now walk away and say nothing. Oh. After all the choices they've made, after everything they've seen of Jesus, we read this. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They walk away and say nothing to anyone. Although, let it be said that none of the other disciples, the men, had even showed up at this point. They'd run away a long time before. So is that it? Is that where the story ends? Possibly that's why someone seems to have written their own ending, because they thought this was such a bad one. But they needn't have. They needn't have. Because what Mark knows What every one of his readers know, especially those first readers who would have known Mary and Mary and Salome, those three women. Even without anyone saying anything more, is that this isn't how the story ended. Let me ask you a few questions. How did anyone know that Mary and Mary and Salome went to the tomb that morning? And how did anyone ever know what they saw and what the angels said to them? And how did anyone know that Jesus was alive? How did anyone know any of that stuff? Because the women told them. Because the women said. Maybe at first those women didn't know what to do or to make of it or what to believe or what to choose. Maybe they needed to go away and think for a bit. But it must have become clear and real for them, the amazing, the life-changing, the world-changing thing that had happened. And that they were the first ones to see it. So although they walked away at first, they must have gone and told the disciples. Who else would have done? They became the first and some of the greatest celebrators and sharers of the good news, which is how you and I know today, because those women didn't continue to walk away and say nothing, but they believed and they celebrated and they shared the good news. So Mark leaves us at the end of his whole story. The tomb's empty. Jesus is risen. He's alive. There is nothing more amazing and important. This changes life forever. Now, perhaps we may not have got that yet or got it at first. Perhaps it takes time for that to become clear to us. But in the end, that's what these women and then the other disciples and then millions, no, billions of people throughout history have believed and given their lives for. So this Easter morning with that choice before us, how are we going to respond? How will we choose to finish the story that Mark leaves open for you and me? Maybe we're in a place where we want to take time to be clear on what all this means. If you want to speak with someone about that, come and speak with me or another Christian you know. But there is an adventure here to choose for us today and for the rest of our lives. Are we going to walk away and leave it and say nothing? Or will we be those who believe and celebrate and share the good news that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is alive? We're going to have a chance to kind of think about that and respond to that on this Easter morning because the singing group are going to come up. Perhaps as you listen to them sing, you might reflect on that. You might even think about praying for those who you know. I'm looking for my wee card here that I had. We had those cards and we wrote down names and we thought about people we'd love to speak to about Jesus before, to speak to Jesus about before we speak to them about Jesus. Perhaps there's people you long to know the good news that Jesus is alive. So take this opportunity, the singing group are going to come and sing two beautiful songs together. Let's begin to respond to that question. Do we walk away this morning and leave it and say nothing? Or are we those who will celebrate and share the good news? Derek's going to come and lead us in our prayers before we sing our final hymn, Thine Be the Glory. Derek, thank you.
There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then, bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, when everything was dark and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. Father, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus. We praise you for the light of the new life that shone on the first witnesses of the resurrection. Father, you loved this world so much that you gave your one and only Son that we might be called your children too. Help us to live in the gladness and grace of Easter Sunday every day. We have heard this morning about the choices the women made on that first Easter morning. Father, give us, through the power and grace of your Holy Spirit, the ability to make good choices as the women did. If we are presented with opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with family, work colleagues, friends at school or university, give us the courage to do so and the words to use. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. Father, this morning we pray for Grace, currently serving with Mercy Ships in Senegal. We thank you for safe travel and safe arrival in Senegal. We are thankful that her short period of quarantine may end today and that she will be able to meet up with the 7 other people in the same position as herself. We pray for those on board the ship currently suffering from COVID, that they may recover quickly, enabling them to resume their duties. Finally, Father, in a moment of silence, we bring to you those known to us who need your strength, love, comfort, and support at this time, those who may be suffering physical or mental anguish. We bring all these, our prayers, to you in the name of our risen Savior. Amen.
Death hath lost its sting.
Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the victory thou on death hast won.
Well, let me continue to wish you a very happy Easter. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Maybe see you tomorrow at Castle Wellen in the glorious sunshine and back here next week. But now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn